It is with joy and gladness that we greet you today in the name of our wonderful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the blessings of God upon Anniversary Day, last Sunday here at Worth Baptist Church. You'll be glad to know that the Lord blessed us with more than 700 in Sunday school at Worth Baptist Church. This is a new record for us, our previous record having been set on Anniversary Day in 1968. So we are full of joy and gladness today. The Lord added 9 to our church family, and a spirit of revival prevailed throughout. We're glad today that God is still saving souls, and that the fires of revival are burning here at Worth Baptist Church. We invite you this week to write us, and if you do write us this week, we'll be happy to send you one of our little booklets entitled Times Like These. This is a scriptural approach to the everyday problems of life. If you're undergoing sorrow and tragedy in your heart and in your home, there's a paragraph in this little booklet just for you. If you are discouraged, there's a word of encouragement there. If you're looking for those hard-to-find places in the Scripture, we have listed there the references of many of those places that you'll be able to turn to very quickly in the pages of your Bible if you have one of these little booklets, Times Like These. So write us this week, and we'll be happy to send you a copy free and postage paid. Our announcer will give you our mailing address again at the close of the broadcast. And may I remind you that the welcome and the invitation to attend the services of Worth Baptist Church is still yours. Our Sunday school is thoroughly graded, and our textbook is the Word of God. So we invite you to attend Sunday school today at 10 o'clock, and we trust that as you prepare, even now, in your home or wherever you are, as you're preparing for this day, that you will include God in your plans. Think for a moment, what if God left you out of His plans for today? The Bible declares that in Him we live and move and have our being. Without Him, we are nothing. Without Him, we can do nothing. So why not include God in your plans for this Lord's Day? Attend Sunday school at 10 o'clock and our Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m. This will be a time of rejoicing and one we believe that will be a blessing to your heart and to your life. Our Sunday evening worship hour is at 7. We would be happy to have you and your family and your friends to attend with us today, sharing in the blessings of God upon the ministry of Worth Baptist Church. Our church is located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. It is easily accessible from every part of the city and Tarrant County by way of the Poly Freeway and Loop 820. So come today. Rejoice with us in the blessings of God, in studying the Bible in the Sunday school, and worshiping God in the services of worship. And don't forget, write us this week, and we'll send you the booklet, Times Like These. And now my message today on Worth Baptist Hour is entitled, Jesus, the Mighty Man of Miracles. I shall read from the book of Acts, chapter 2. At verse 22, but first I want you to pause with me in this moment for a word of prayer. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we truly thank Thee for redeeming grace. We thank Thee for the means of radio broadcasting to send out the gospel of Jesus Christ to the many hearts and homes of those who listen in this area. It is our prayer that as this broadcast goes into those hearts and into those homes, that the power of the Holy Spirit would be felt. We pray, Heavenly Father, for those who are listening upon the sick bed, or in the rest home, or wherever they are today, may they find a sweet release. May they find comfort and consolation. May they find the peace of God that passes all understanding for their hearts and lives. There are many who are discouraged. There are many who are in trouble and who have burdens and perplexities known only to them and Thee. And so it is our prayer that the Holy Spirit would work a miracle of grace in those hearts and in those lives today. And as a result of this broadcast, may many souls be born into thy family, is our prayer in Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. The book of Acts, chapter 2 and verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. Jesus Christ, the mighty man of miracles, this is what God's work and God's word and God's program is all about. The program of God is a program of miracles. To define the word miracle, we might simply say that a miracle is the stepping aside of the natural law in favor of the supernatural law. But you know, I like the little girl's definition much better. Someone asked the little Sunday school girl, "What is a miracle?" And she answered, "A miracle is something we can't do, but Jesus can." And that's the truth, and that's the way it is, and that's what it's all about. Jesus Christ is God's miracle man. And remember this, he was just as much man as though he had not been God. And at the same wonderful and yet inexplainable time, he was just as much God as though he had not been man. Jesus Christ, the mighty man of miracles. At his birth, there was a great miracle performed. No one was ever born as he was born. The late Peter Marshall said, and I quote, "At Jesus' birth, the high and mighty people of the world were unaware of the fact that a miracle was happening beneath their upturned noses. And so it was in an out-of-the-way place, at an out-of-the-way time, in a miraculous way, God brought about the birth of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Even his name is miraculous. Jesus means Savior. The Bible declares, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." It is recorded that Joan of Arc, who was burned at the stake, while the flames were lapping about her body, breathed the name of Jesus three times. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Beloved, the name Jesus is a miraculous name. It is the passport to heaven. No wonder we sing, "Take the name of Jesus with you, child of sorrow and of woe. It will joy and comfort give you. Take it then where'er you go." In the name of Jesus Christ, there is the miracle of healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, there is the miracle of salvation. And in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ, there is the miracle of answered prayer. Search the New Testament, and throughout it you will discover that many were healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Again, search the Bible, and you'll learn that everyone who was ever saved was saved in the name of Jesus Christ. And what shall I say about answered prayer? In your own life, in your own experience, in the lives and experiences of those recorded in the New Testament, over and over again and again, many had answered to prayer in the name of Jesus. For Jesus Christ himself said, "Ask what you will in my name, and it shall be given to you." The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ was a ministry of miracles. We read in the Gospel according to John, chapter 2, that Jesus performed his first miracle at Cana in Galilee, at a wedding ceremony where Jesus turned the water into wine. From that moment on, the New Testament records many mighty miracles. The Apostle Peter, in this message from which I have just read in Acts chapter 2, declares that Jesus Christ was approved of God by many miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him. Jesus Christ is the mighty man of miracles. His death was a miracle, for in his death upon the cross, he provided eternal redemption for everyone who will believe. The Bible declares all are sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And the same Bible says that all who believe, all who will come by faith, can obtain this eternal salvation through the finished work of redemption of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon the cross. So his death was a miracle. And his resurrection was a miracle. He arose from the dead, triumphant over the grave, over death, over hell, over every enemy that you will ever encounter. So in his resurrection, God performed another great miracle, bringing about the resurrection of Christ, the first resurrection. He was the beginning of the resurrection, which is to be completed when he comes again for his own. What shall I say about the Bible, the Word of God? Is not the Bible a miracle? 66 books, 1,189 chapters, over 31,000 verses, and every verse, and every word, and every line, and every chapter, and every book inspired by the Holy Spirit. A miracle indeed. A book that was written over a period of 1,600 years by more than 40 people, and yet all of this book has as its one central theme the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a miracle within itself. When we consider Jesus Christ, the mighty man of miracles, we must conclude that his work is greater than that of the architect, for Jesus Christ drew the plans of the universe. We must conclude that his work is greater than that of the artist, because he painted the landscape of the earth. We must conclude that his work is greater than that of the baker, for Jesus Christ said, "I am the bread of life." It is greater than that of the builder, for he is the chief cornerstone. He is the foundation. He is the master builder of the universe. His work is greater than that of the composer, for Jesus Christ and Jesus alone can put a song in your heart. And beloved, when Christ puts a song in your heart, there will be a smile upon your face. There will be a twinkle in your eye. There will be honey on your lips. Yes, his work is far greater than the greatest composer, because in the heart of mankind, Jesus Christ has implanted a song. His work is greater than that of the inventor, for he created all things. And his work is far greater than that of the poet, for Jesus Christ, and only Jesus Christ, can make every event of your life rhyme. Oh, there are things that don't seem to make sense in your life. When things go wrong and there are problems and heartaches and difficulties, you think that life is a jumble, life is a mess, nothing meets, nothing rhymes. But Jesus Christ can take the events of your life, and by your faith in him and your confidence in him and your belief in his word, he can take all of the uneven ends of life and make them rhyme. So his work is far greater than that of the poet. Someone said, "But the days of miracles are over." Not so. The sun still shines, does it not? The rain waters the earth. The earth produces her produce. These are miracles. You're breathing right now, aren't you? That's a miracle. You're listening to this broadcast. That's a miracle. The days of miracles are not over. And Jesus Christ, the mighty man of miracles, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let me share with you briefly three areas in which Jesus, the mighty man of miracles, is at work. First of all, Jesus Christ, the mighty man of miracles, brings the miracle of light into a darkened world. Jesus said in John 8:12, "I am the light of the world. He that walketh after me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Jesus Christ is the light of the intellectual world. The wise Solomon said in Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge." He is the light of the economic world. If you take out of the economic system of our country and of the world today the principles that have been put there by Christ, the principles of honesty and sobriety, of truth and fair dealing, the economic system of our nation and of the world will collapse. He is the light of the economic world. He's the light of the social world. And I know someone might ask, but preacher, how can you say that when our society is so bankrupt morally, when there's so many problems, when there's delinquency and dope and liquor and all of these things and crime increasing every day? Yes, these things are true. But I ask you, what would it have been if Jesus Christ had not come? He is the light of the social world. And Jesus Christ is the light of the religious world. A young man once said to his minister, "I have tried religion for 5 years and discovered that it will not work, so I'm giving it up." The minister shocked him when he said, "Young man, I tried religion 15 years and discovered it would not work, so I gave it up, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, and this will work." Beloved, religion can't save, but Jesus can. Religion cannot satisfy, but Jesus Christ can. Religion will not do when you are dying, but the salvation that comes from God through the Lord Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit will do when you are dying. And the Bible declares it is appointed unto men once to die, and after this the judgment. Jesus Christ is the light of the religious world. And beloved, He can be the light of your own individual world. You may be in darkness this moment, but you know God allows you to be in darkness to show you that He is the light. Life is full of shadows, but the sunshine causes every one of them. And if you'll keep your face to the sun, you will not see the shadows that fall behind you. If you'll keep your face toward the Lord Jesus Christ, you will not see all of the shadows of life, but you can walk in the light of life and have fellowship with Him. Yes, Jesus Christ has brought light to a darkened world. In the second area of our thinking, let us note that Jesus Christ brings the miracle of peace to a troubled world. Jesus said in John 14:27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Beloved, there's a great deal of trouble in the world today. There's trouble in your heart and in your life. But listen to these words from Isaiah 26:3. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee." Peace doesn't come in a capsule. And we might say it's a pity it doesn't, because the doctors tell us that 60% of all our illnesses stem from fear and hatred and anxiety and bitterness and resentment. No, peace does not come in a capsule. Peace comes through Jesus Christ. The old Chinese proverb, I think, is good. If there's peace in the heart, there will be beauty in the character. If there's beauty in the character, there will be harmony in the home. If there's harmony in the home, there will be order in the nation. And if there's order in the nation, there will be peace in the world. Peace begins in the heart. Peace begins in the heart that is in the right relationship with God. And only those hearts are in the right relationship with God who have Jesus Christ in them. The United Nations cannot bring peace. The Peace Corps cannot ensure peace. The talks in Paris cannot formulate peace. Only through Jesus Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, can peace be had in this troubled world. Are you discouraged? Are you bothered? Are you perplexed? Are you in trouble? Is your heart aching today? Then I invite you to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and discover this great truth, that He will keep your heart in perfect peace, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding can be yours right now. And that brings me to my third and final thought. Jesus Christ, the mighty man of miracles, brings the miracle of salvation to the sinful soul. Oh, it took a miracle, the songwriter wrote, to hang the stars in place. It took a miracle to put the world in space. But when he saved my soul, cleansed and made me whole, it took a miracle of love and grace. Your salvation cost God his Son. It cost his Son his blood upon Calvary's cross. The only thing it will cost you is your exercise of faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Will you not now trust him? Will you not now open the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ come in and let God work a miracle of grace in your heart and in your life? He'll do it this moment. If you will but pray the sinner's prayer, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, Christ will save you. If you're there today by the radio, having been saved but having drifted away from God and away from the church and away from the Bible, Jesus Christ is waiting for you to come back. In the words of this little poem, I close the broadcast. Jesus Christ is waiting for you. Turn back to where you left him, and you will find him there. He is waiting by the bedside where you used to kneel in prayer. He's standing in the chapel by that long abandoned pew. He stands by your forsaken place where the laborers are so few. You are older, sorer, broken. You are tired of self, 'tis true. So return to where you left him. He's waiting there for you. My friend, Christ is waiting for you this moment. Exercise your faith in him. Trust him. Pray to him. Believe him. Acknowledge him. Own him as the Lord and Master of your life. And until next Sunday at this same time, we admonish you to keep on praying.